Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet.ca. Joining us on Sportsnet tonight. Ben, you have anything to do with this Sportsnet.ca vote that you can declare on picking your favorite Blue Jay of all time per position? You have anything to do with this?
Well, a little bit to do with it, actually. I may or may not be one of the people who will be writing some of the script for this once it actually goes on TV.
Okay, well, are you the one responsible for only giving us a few options?
I can only take a small share of that responsibility. But, I mean, with a lot of these categories, you're not, like, say right field. I mean, you're going to have Bautista. You're going to have Joe Carter. Some of these ones are a little more clear-cut than others.
Hey, Ben, you and Sportsnet.ca, don't tell me out of my life, Nicholson-Smith, all right?
Hey.
I guess that's fair enough.
Can we get your favorite before our conversation is out? Can we get your favorites? Would you want to weigh in and vote?
Sure, yeah, absolutely. I'll provide some favorites.
All right, we'll put you on the spot. Well, a lot of favorites to go around with the Toronto Blue Jays tonight, Ben, because there are a lot of positives to go around. And we'll talk about Brett Laurie in a moment, just one of many. But I got to say, Brandon Morrow, he pitched six innings. Five of those, he looked fantastic. He had good command of his fastball. He was mixing his slider that had a lot of bite, at least throughout this ball game, minus that sixth inning. He looked very good.
Yeah, he looked really good. His fastball going up to 97, 98 miles an hour, slider working very well, and his command was there tonight. You could see it. The Astros hitters were really swinging and missing a lot. Nine strikeouts for Morrow. So it's a really encouraging start for the Blue Jays. And with all of these starts early in the season, it's only one game. It's only one at-bat. It's only one inning. But, you know, with Morrow, this is a really big bounce back for him considering how bad he looked in Tampa Bay. So a very good outing for Morrow today.
Ben, I was talking to Jeff about this. Do you want him to see him doing it against a maybe a bit of a better lineup instead of the AAA, the 4A team that the Houston Astros truck out there on a daily basis?
Yeah, I think that's a fair point. I do, you know, George, when you look at this Astros lineup, it includes some pretty inexperienced hitters. They had three hitters in the lineup tonight who have yet to play in their 100th major league game. You have a 5'6" cleanup hitter in Jose Altuve. So this is not the 2017 Yankees. It's not even the 2014 Yankees. So we want to see more from Morrow before we can declare that he's back and he's the player he was when he posted an ERA under 3 in 2012. But all the same, he can't do anything about the Astros lineup except for strike them out, and that's what he did today.
You know, he's not going to get a lot of talk, but Neil Wagner coming up, making his Blue Jays debut for the season, comes in with two solid innings, six up, six down, three strikeouts.
Yeah, he was really good, and he had quite a day today. I asked him after the game because he was just called up today, and he started the day in Lehigh Valley where the Blue Jays AAA team was set to take on the Phillies AAA team. So he had to get on a bus, then on a plane, then got here right before game time and then pitched two innings. So it's not exactly an easy day, and the fact that he was able to focus and deliver a couple really good innings was a really encouraging sign for the Blue Jays.
Sportsnet.ca's Ben Nicholson-Smith joining us here on Sportsnet tonight alongside Jeff Sammet. My name is George Russick. Did you feel the relief on Brett Laurie after he hit his first of the season?
A little bit. A little. I think that Laurie wasn't taking it too hard, but for any player, you know, at this stage, we're more than a week in. They want to get that first home run out of the way just so they don't have to think about it and talk about it anymore. So Laurie, I think, was pretty composed. John Gibbons saying before the game that he was really impressed with the composure that Laurie has shown overall. But, hey, it's always nice to get that first homer out of the way, especially for a player who's looking to boost that home run total in 2014.
You know, and it's nice to see that Jose Reyes, it's not nice to see that Jose Reyes is out of the lineup, but it's nice to see that they're overcoming the lack of speed. Melky Cabrera with a stolen base, Deonor Navarro with a stolen base, so that's nice to see.
Yeah, pretty surprising. I don't know about you guys. I did not see that one coming. So I think it was one of those moments where Navarro surprised everyone, maybe even himself, but a little bit of a stolen base for him. I'm not sure we're going to see a ton of those, but with guys like Melky and Meiser, I mean, they're moving a lot better than they were last year. So that's a pretty positive development. I don't know if it translates into stolen bases, but at least you see them going second to home on a single, first to third on a single. That kind of thing can lead to a bunch of extra runs in the course of the season.
Ben, is Navarro pretty much as advertised as we thought what we were getting so early on for the Blue Jays?
Yeah, I think he's been a little better than advertised just because he's been able to stay behind the plate. One of the big questions with him was durability. His bat's been pretty good so far, and he's catching the Blue Jays pitching staff pretty well. You look at Morrow today, Burley obviously off to a really good start, and he seemed to click with Navarro so far. So I think that Navarro's done quite a good job, and of course it's early. I don't expect him to keep stealing bases and hitting quite at this level, but he's been really good, and overall the Blue Jays' catching has been a lot better than it was in 2013.
With Ben Nicholson-Smith of Sportsnet.ca on Sportsnet 590, the Fan alongside George Russick, I'm Jeff Sammet. Loved the switch Gibby made. Meister Asturis, second spot in the batting order, moving down Colby Rasmus to eighth. Asturis is the hot hand, Rasmus not so much, and it benefited in both spots in the batting order.
Yeah, I agree, Jeff. I think that, you know, you look at Meister and the way he's hitting, he's really, really hitting at a level we didn't see last year, looking good up at the plate. And I get the sense that the Blue Jays are going to ride that out now, let him have the number two hole in the lineup for the next maybe week or so while Jose Reyes continues to recover. That's just my speculation, but I won't be surprised. And then Rasmus looked better at the plate tonight. He was taking a patient approach and got a nice hit as well. So it definitely did work out for both players, like you say.
Isn't Rasmus, though, shouldn't fans maybe pump the brakes on panicking about Rasmus because usually he's a notoriously slow starter?
Yeah, I agree. I mean, this is a guy who, you know, even if he only matches last year's plate appearances, he's going to get 450, 500, 600 plate appearances in the course of this year. So we've got a long way to go. He's going to produce. He's going to go through some more slumps in the course of the season, but that's just the ups and downs of a year. And, you know, just like Mark Burley's not going to have an ERA of one, these things have a way of evening out. So I am fully confident that Rasmus is going to have a good year. He seems to be feeling good, swinging a little bit better, and I'm sure there are better things to come.
R.A. Dickey getting the start tomorrow, Ben, and not Dustin McGowan, who's been moved to Friday versus Baltimore. Do you take it at face value that McGowan gets some extra rest out of this? In turn, Morrow down the line would get some extra rest out of this? Or is this a move tailored to R.A. Dickey getting a favorable matchup in the Houston Astros and not pitching in Baltimore?
I wouldn't be surprised if it's a bit of everything, really. I mean, the Blue Jays clearly value R.A. Dickey's opinion, and they're willing to make sure that he's happy. You know, we've seen it. They take his voice into consideration with things like who catches him, with Josh Toley being on the team, and last year also having Toley and Henry Blanco around. So I think that they clearly value what Dickey thinks. At the same time, it doesn't hurt to get a bit more rest for someone like Dustin McGowan, who has really ramped up slowly this spring and really doesn't have a whole lot of pitches under his belt. So I can see how it kind of works in a couple different ways for this team.
Ben, before we let you go, manager John Gibbons said that they didn't have the feed when it came to that coach's challenge, manager's challenge on that Ryan Goins pickoff play. How the hell didn't they have the feed, Ben?
Yeah, it's a good question. It was asked of Gibbons after the game. He jokes that maybe they were watching the Yankees-Orioles game instead. I mean, it's one of those things where it's frustrating for sure. Seeing the replay on Sportsnet, I thought, hey, it looked as though he might have been safe back at first base there, and that could have been a call worthy of challenging, but didn't happen, and the Blue Jays won anyway, so it's one they got away with.
Yeah, the Blue Jays with a win, 7-3 over the Houston Astros. They finish off the series, hopefully with a sweep. R.A. Dickey on the mound tomorrow. We'll have the game for you. It's a 7-something first pitch on Sportsnet 590. The Fan, you could watch it on Sportsnet. Ben, before we let you go, we put you on the spot and get your favorites at each position for the Toronto Blue Jays, given the, and we just tweeted at the link, at Jeff Sammet 590, at RussickSN 590 on Sportsnet.ca. You can cast your vote. All right, so I'll ask you, your favorite pitcher in Blue Jays history. Ben, what is it?
Roy Halladay. He's the best Cy Young winner, incredibly durable, and did it at a time that offense was at a real high in the American League.
And obviously that is, I would think, that the toughest selection, given that you have to choose just one pitcher out of everybody. So I went with a starter and a closer, but I'll get my votes later on. Your favorite first baseman in Blue Jays history?
Carlos Delgado. There's no question there.
Yeah, I wouldn't think so either. And it's a lot to do with Carlos, but also the selections that you would have afterwards. And I think when you only get three votes for first base, I think three votes is all options. Three options is all you need there. Second base.
Again, an easy one. Roberto Alomar. Yeah. I think you can make a case that he's a top five second baseman in baseball history, let alone in Blue Jays history. So this is not going to Homer Bush or Aaron Hill. This is going to Roberto Alomar.
But let's also remember, this is favorites. You know, so it's your personal favorite. Obviously, the credentials can be there, but it goes with your favorite third baseman in Blue Jays history.
Yeah, I think at this point it gets to be a bit more subjective because I don't think there's a clear-cut third baseman who's top of the list. You know, I'll throw Tony Bautista into the mix because of that open stance. I mean, it's one to remember. I'm sure a lot of Blue Jays fans know what I'm talking about with basically facing the pitcher as he steps into the box.
Tony Bautista is certainly one of the selections there. Your favorite shortstop in Blue Jays history?
You know, John McDonald comes to mind. I think that the defense definitely won a lot of people over, and watching him a lot here, making tons of defensive plays, I'll go with him.
Left field?
Left field. This is a lot of selection here. Who are the leading contenders? I mean, Shannon Stewart comes to mind. George Bell would have played some right and left. Who are the ones on the list?
Bell, Stewart, Candy Maldonado on the list as well.
Okay, yeah, I'll go with George Bell, first MVP in Blue Jays history.
Yeah, left field. I mean, Barfield was out in right, and we'll get to right field. Oh, Barfield isn't even on the list for favorite right fielder in Blue Jays history.
There's, the hell, Sportsnet?
There's Joe Carter, Jose Bautista, and Sean Green. Jesse Barfield's not on the list. Who gets your vote for right field?
Joe Carter. The iconic moment in Blue Jays history. It comes from Joe Carter. That was a great moment for me, including a lot of Blue Jays fans, a lot of people in this city and country. So definitely Joe Carter.
Center field?
Now, this is a tough one. I'm going Devon White, though. I think he was a really underappreciated Blue Jay, one of the great defensive players, and he could hit a little bit, too, so I'll go with Devo.